chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sure afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, and the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And so, heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. Sue, would you please put up our first verse? Would you guys like to stand and we'll read this together? 10, 24, 25.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to learn and to love, to learn about you, to learn about Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated. For those of you that were here last night, I joked a little bit about the gifts that I got Pauline. Whose phone was that? Whose phone that was? We got three gifts. I want you to give first the gift of time and space. You know, when I read from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it said, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I got to tell you, those two verses, there's like 10 sermons. It's really hard for me to not just go off topic here. But what I really want you to think about as you look at these two verses is I really want you to see how they laid him in the manger. See, there was no room for them in the inn, and whether it was an inn like the Bethlehem Inn up here, or, you know, the Motel 6 of Bethlehem, or whatever, more than likely, it was a guest room in somebody's house. They didn't really have motels like we have motels. But, you know, that's all just splitting hairs. The reality was, wherever it was that they wanted to stay, they couldn't stay. And so, they were disadvantaged in their lodging. But they made do. They took the time, they took space that they had to celebrate what was happening. You know that most people in Nazareth, most people in Bethlehem, they missed the first Christmas. They just didn't know. That was just another night for them. Just went right on by. Which makes me want to ask you if you're going to miss Christmas this year. If it will just go right on by, or if you're going to stop and celebrate. The truth is, we get so busy. We're so busy trying to make sure that everybody else has a good Christmas, that we forget the real reason for the season isn't us blessing others, but it is God blessing all of us. So take the time and the space that you need to connect with the true meaning of Christmas. It's not about family. It's not about the gifts that are under the tree or arriving second day from Amazon. Christmas is about Jesus, the gift that God gave to us. All too often we miss Christmas because we get too wrapped up in pretending like we're God to other people, giving them things. When we think about it like that, we're like, well, that's ridiculous. I'm not God, of course. But are you taking the time in your life, time and space, to make sure that you're receiving in your heart the gift that God has for you? The second gift that I think that each of us should take advantage of is the gift of peace. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And I want to follow that up with John chapter 16, verse 33. There it reads, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." You know, our world can be pretty hectic, can't it? I know Colleen and I, you know, we've got the grandbaby that's due kind of any day. I wish we were over there. It's Christmas. My mother's aging. I don't know how many more Christmases she's going to. Kind of wanted to head over there after church, you know, spend time with her. And just all this stuff, all this busyness. You know, we have our daughter and lives in Eastern Washington with three grandchildren over there. So, you know, some years we've taken off right after church and headed over there. And, you know, and it's just that when you're doing that, it's rush, 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 rush. Get in the car, drive, ice, snow, troubles, hurry, you arrive. Hi, everybody. Oh, it's so good to see you. Bring all the gifts and, you know, make your little nest on the couch or wherever you're sleeping. And, you know, just all this stuff. And in one sense, it's a lot of fun. In another sense, it It's only fun if you're not rushing. If your world isn't hectic and crazy. It's only fun if it's bringing peace. Our world today, you know, there's wars and there's rumors of wars at home and abroad. And God is trying, God is extending us a gift of peace. Wanting us to accept that and abide in the peace that He has to offer. With all the trouble that greets us every day, all the frustrations that we have in our hearts and our minds and our surroundings, take a little time every day, especially on Christmas Day, to enter into some peace. One of the ways that I bring my troubled soul back to this place where God wants it to be is through song. By remembering the lines from various songs. When it comes to peace, there's two that I sing often. I'll just share a couple lines with you from this one very familiar song. When I have no peace in my soul, I sing, it is well with my soul. The song begins, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And just stop there and think about what I just said. When peace like a river attendeth my way. So that's implying that when there's a river of peace coming to me, then it says, when sorrows like sea billows roll. So you start with this huge oxymoron, this big clash of emotions. And then the song says, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So that whatever's going on, if my health is failing, if my husband is in the hospital, my life is falling apart. Things are becoming unraveled all around me. Whatever. It's well with my soul. It's just fine down deep inside my heart. The place where God lives is in perfect repair. Everything else might be falling apart, but down in there, it's just fine. The next verse says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Therefore, it is well with my soul. So, when I'm feeling that I have no peace, these are the things that I do. Because I know it's not God's will for me to be without peace. It's God's will for each and every one of us to have peace in the midst of tribulation. He said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Christmas is the perfect time to reflect on Him having overcome the world. Because God in His sovereignty, who dwelled in heaven, God, who is holy and perfect in every way, chose to abandon His divinity, take on the form of the Son, Jesus Christ, and come to earth, born not to wealth and privilege, but to poverty and adversity, to be born into tribulation, to be born into problem, to live His whole life hand to mouth. We worry about where the stock market is. Jesus had no mind for such things. He didn't worry about His retirement, for He knew that His ultimate destination was the cross and that He would need no retirement. He came to earth knowing that. So you talk about tribulation, He had it on every turn. But yet He was faithful every step of the way. because he knew that through his faithfulness, he would overcome the world. And when he overcame the world, so too those who believe in him could overcome the world. Don't let your tribulations and your problems tear you down. Let the power of Jesus Christ build you up. The third gift that I want you to keep is the gift of wonder. Luke chapter 2, verses 18 and 19 say this: "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Does Christmas still hold wonder for you? Is there still an air of excitement with Christmas? Not about the Christmas cookies, though they're good. And not about the gifts, and not about the eyes of the children, you know, as they unwrap their gifts and they receive these things and they get a couple weeks off from school and they, you know, get to do things. And not that wonder. But the wonder that God came to earth. That's amazing. I mean, who among us would simply take and sell all that we have, give it to the poor, take up our cross, and follow him? Who amongst us would do that? Who would give it all? Oh, that's a pretty tall order. Yeah, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, which would be impossible, than for a rich man to make his way to heaven. When you look at America and you look at everything that we have, each and every one of us, the poorest of us, pretty well off. Pretty well off. How can we make it? We make it very simply by keeping in mind that it's not by the works of righteousness that we have done, but it is by the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit of God comes upon us, as the work of Christ brings forgiveness into our lives, that's what writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not our works that do it. It's God's love that does it. And it's our obedience to receive his love, to become a part of his family. That's the wonder of Christmas. That we would be saved by our faith. That it's been by grace we have been saved through faith, not it's a wonder. It's not what we do, but what he did. So when we make mistakes, when we blunder, when we fail, when we fall, his love for us does not change. He doesn't judge us based on who we are. He judges us based on who he is. What a transition. What a wonder. Ponder that in your heart this Christmas. Let that be the gift that sets you free. That God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We read the Christmas story and we think we know it. We celebrate it. We talk about it during the Christmas season. But does it still amaze us when we read the story of Jesus' birth? I want to leave you with this thought from John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him, that's in Jesus, was life, and the and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Do you have any darkness in your heart, any doubt today that's within you? If you do, let the light shine. Move those obstacles. Let the light shine in. Turn your biggest fears and your greatest worries, turn them around so they face the Lord. Put them in the direct light of who He is. And there you will find reason to hope. It's my prayer this year that you would receive these three gifts for yourself. It's a big thing, you know, self-gifting, buying yourself something at Christmas. So I challenge you, I implore you, this Christmas, buy yourself some time and some space. Find a place of quiet rest. Buy yourself a little bit of peace. Let your heart not be troubled. And buy yourself a little bit of wonder that you would still be amazed at what God has done for you. Let's stand together. Worship Him. Grateful for your love for us. We just thank you and thank you a thousand times over for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Father, we just want to praise you. We want to thank you for Christmas and all that it means. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.